So I just want to welcome everybody to Curing Canine Cancer Live Expert Interview Call Number 8 this evening. Our guest tonight is Dr. Shauna Ault, and Dr. Ault runs a medical practice called Alternatives, and from her website, Alternatives is a holistic veterinary practice that's dedicated to providing complementary and alternative medicine for all kinds of animals, while recognizing the importance of conventional veterinary medicine in emergency treatment of disease and trauma. Dr. Shauna Ault seeks to improve the overall health of your animals through the healing modalities of acupuncture, chiropractic, Chinese and Western herbs, optimal nutrition, and energy medicine, including NAET allergy elimination and Bicom 2000 bioresonance therapy. And the reason why we have Dr. Ault on the call today, other than the fact that she's a wonderful veterinarian, is that some of these techniques that I've seen her do have extremely wonderful effectiveness, and they're very different from what I've seen a lot of other vets do. So I wanted to bring her on the call and let her talk a little bit about what she does so that you can get a sense of some of the options that are out there for your dogs as well. So I want to welcome you tonight. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Ault.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. Before we get started, I always like to give a quick disclaimer just to let everybody know that, Dr. Ault, of course, is a vet, but I am not a vet. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows, understands that nothing on this call is intended to substitute for medical advice and for the importance of having your dog looked at and cared for by a licensed veterinarian. So while we hope that this and helps give you a sense of the things that that you need to do to take care of your dog, please make sure that you use it for informational purposes only, and that we strongly advise that you get proper professional advice on all matters that are related to the care of your dog. Just to let you know, I can already tell that I'm probably going to have to, Dr. Ault, sort of mute us out and then bring us back on again if the noise level in the background gets to be too much from the call, but we'll just manage that as it goes along. I think as a way of introduction, Dr. Ault, I'd like to share for just 2 minutes how you and I met, basically. And just to let everybody know, for anybody who's worked with me for a while, you realize that last summer I actually took a bicycle ride across the country as a charity fundraiser for dog cancer charities. We rode from the Pacific to the Atlantic to help raise money for dog owners who couldn't afford to pay for their dog's cancer. And thank you to everybody who's donated. And actually, as a sneak preview, I'm currently working on dog cancer ride number 2. So that's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. But one of the nicest things about that ride, other than all the dogs that we were able to help and all the beautiful scenery that I got to see, was the people that... And as we rode from Oregon into Idaho, we met a wonderful friend there named Ken McDevitt, who was actually on the phone call with us. And Ken said to me, sent me an email message saying, "You've got to meet my dog's vet because she's absolutely amazing." And just to share a two-second story about Ken's dog, and I'm going to actually have Ken on the phone a little bit later on to talk about him as well. Ken's dog, Tiggerby Happy Mac, was diagnosed with cancer, and his vet told him basically to give up, that his dog had at most 1 month to live. And Ken, if you when you hear him on the call, you'll realize Ken does not give up on anything. And so Ken refused to listen to that, and he found my website and bought my book, Curing Canine Cancer, and through that ended up finding Dr. Ault. And with the help of Dr. Ault, they not only blew past the 1 month and the 6 months and the 9 months, they blew past a year with Tiggerby Happy Mac. And I think Ken was just telling me earlier on they made it to about 14 and a half months. So they got about a little bit more than a year extra. And when I came through town, Tiggerby Happy Mac, who was on month 7, and was just running out in the backyard playing and enjoying life, which is exactly what we're trying to do with all of this. So I had the good fortune of being able to meet Dr. Ault as we rode through and, you know, get introduced to her and some of the techniques that she does. And at the time I said to her, we need to get on a call because we need to share this with other people. So that's the background on that. Tell us a little bit about, why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about Mac and sort of what you did with him and what happened with him, and we'll use that as a transition into some of the techniques that you use.
Okay. Well, Mac presented with a pretty advanced stage of bladder cancer, and that particular type of cancer carries a very, very dim prognosis. Surgery is generally, by the time it's diagnosed, surgery is not an option because of the location and the size of the tumor. It would basically necessitate removing the entire bladder and proximal urethra, which is basically leaving them without a bladder and unable to urinate. So that's not a good option. The conventional options include a nonsteroidal called piroxicam, which can help some dogs and extend their time, but it's not curative. And the problem with piroxicam is it tends to carry a lot of side effects, such as stomach ulcers and intestinal ulcers and bleeding. And at the time that I first saw Mac, he was on piroxicam as prescribed by his conventional doctor, and was having exactly those problems with the upset stomach and intestinal bleeding. So he couldn't continue to take that. He was in a lot of discomfort because of the medication that was supposed to alleviate his discomfort, and not eating. So we needed to stop that and give him some support, some help in trying to get him eating again and feeling more comfortable. So immediately he came off the piroxicam and got treated for the ulcers. And pretty quickly after that, he started feeling pretty good and eating again. Then we started to generally support his immune system, because with most cancers, it's due to a failure of the immune system to adequately recognize that there are cancer cells and to do something about that. So that was the first step with him.
Let me ask you a quick question right there, Dr. Ault. Is there something general that you tend to get them started on for their immune system, sort of across the board, or is every single dog sort of something different to help them, at least initially? I know in the long run every dog is different, but at first, do you tend to start them all on pretty much the same initial just to get them started with their immune system, or do you tailor each and every individual one?
No, it's pretty tailored, because they all have different constitutions, different strengths and weaknesses, and different needs for their immune system. Some of them are stronger and can jump right into some detoxification, which then frees up the immune cells to do their job. Others are so depleted because of either conventional treatments or just overall, a lifetime of poor diet and less than optimal care, that they're just really run down and they need some building up with either nutritional supplements or Chinese herbs or bioresonance therapy. So it really does become tailored to the individual.
But a lot of it sounds like it kind of depends on where they are in terms of their own, how beaten down their system is, depending on whether you're first trying to recover it and then boost it, or if they're strong enough to start, building
right.
it.
Right, yeah, okay. A lot of it does depend on that. So with Mac, we determined that he needed some vitamins, some extra vitamin A and D, and he was dealing with a parasite problem, so we needed to help him out with that, get him get the parasite stress out of his system. So he actually went on to an herbal preparation for getting rid of parasites. And that particular herbal preparation has wormwood or artemisia in it. And the active compound in artemisia, that particular word is artemisinin. It's hard to pronounce. And that is actually by itself a very good anti-cancer therapy. So it helps the immune system.
Yeah, there are actually entire websites out there that are dedicated to the use of artemisinin for cancer care.
Right.
As a practice. So if anybody is interested in learning more about that, you can find information online about that as well. So the parasite kind of got in the way at first, and so you had something else that you needed to deal with even before you could really start attacking the cancer. Is that correct?
Right. So we part of the whole body care, the concept of holistic care is not just treating the tumor, we're treating the patient that's attached to that tumor, the patient that's living with that cancer. And because it's a whole body problem, it's not just one thing, and that's why surgery for removing tumors has a pretty poor long-term result, because you're just removing the visible symptom and you're not really treating the core, treating the reason that it came up in the first place. So there's various stresses in the body that can contribute to the development of cancer cells and the hindering of the immune system to get after those cancer cells and get rid of them. And so sometimes that's parasites, sometimes it's viruses, sometimes it's toxins, sometimes it's electromagnetic stress and emotional factors. So there's a huge realm of possible contributing factors, and what we do here is try to eliminate as many of those contributing factors as we can so that overall the body is stronger and able to respond to what may be a life-threatening cancer stress.
Right. And let's jump around. Let me jump around, if you don't mind, for 1 or 2 minutes, because I know. Now, how do you determine what the stresses are? How do you determine what the side issues are that you've got to deal with, whether they're emotional or whether there's a parasite or you know what else is going on there? I mean, I know that I've seen you in action, so I know that you in particular use some special techniques and stuff to do that.
Right. Some of the stresses are evident just from the history, from the diet, from the physical exam, from the lifestyle evaluation of the pet. Some of them are right there. And other times we have to ferret them out a bit. And this can be done through conventional diagnostic techniques like blood tests and stool tests and urine tests and x-ray and things like that. But that doesn't always provide us the full spectrum of answers. So we can go to the next level of diagnostics using kinesiology, and along with that we can use electromagnetic frequency response through a machine called the BICOM 2000.
Well, tell me a little bit about each of them. Tell me a little bit about what is kinesiology, because I'm a little bit familiar with the term, but I'm sure that a lot of people on the call are not. And then we'll talk about the BICOM.
Okay, kinesiology has two different meanings. One is the study or the science of muscle function, muscle strength and muscle function, and that's how it's used in like a physical therapy setting. In a more holistic health setting, it's used to describe muscle response testing or just muscle testing for short. And what this tests is the strength or weakness of an indicator muscle in response to different stimuli or different inputs. And how I use it is in a technique called contact reflex analysis. And this was developed many years ago by a chiropractor who discovered that it correlated very well with certain nutritional deficiencies. And there are certain reflex points on the body that correspond with different types of infections or parasites or nutritional deficiencies affecting certain organs and systems. So to do this type of testing, we can do it through an intermediate or a surrogate, and usually that's either the owner or my assistant, Leslie. And the assistant just touches the animal and then holds an arm out, and that's the indicator muscle that we use. In response to different stimuli, such as if we're doing allergy testing, if you put a certain say a food substance like wheat or corn up near the energetic field or the body of the animal, then that indicator muscle on the surrogate will go weak, meaning that it can't resist a downward pressure. And it's basically just all electricity. Everything in the body, all the cells and nerves communicate via electromagnetic and photonic impulses. So if you are putting something in the field that interrupts that normal, healthy flow of electricity and electromagnetic impulse, then the muscle is no longer able to be strong. It actually is physically weakened by that. So we can go through this diagnostic flow called a contact reflex analysis and determine if there's organs or systems that are out of balance or that are stressed, and what some of those particular stresses might be. Sometimes it's a food allergy, sometimes it's a parasite, sometimes it's a bacteria or a virus, and sometimes it's just a deficiency of some sort of nutrient.
Right, and let me jump in, because I always like to be sort of, I have an interesting background. I started as a corporate lawyer and then worked my way towards massage therapy and now dog cancer care. And so I've got both the Eastern and the Western side and some of the cynicism in me. And I have actually had people do this type of muscle testing on me. And, you know, the cynic in me sits there and says, oh, this is, you know, a bunch of mumbo jumbo type stuff. And then literally, and then you can't hold your arm up. So I'm a convert personally. And, I always tell people, I tell people in my book, I tell people who I coach, anybody, you know, that, you know, their dog's life is at stake here. Okay, and unless they're really happy with exactly what's happening right now, you know, if they're doing chemotherapy, if they're doing whatever, you know, steroidal treatments, and they're really happy with what's happening, then by all means, you know, continue. But if you're not happy, I tell them, you know, be willing to open things that you might not dream could work, you know, especially if people are telling you that they really do work. And so give me a sense, when you do this muscle testing, I mean, would you say that it, is it always accurate? Is it, you know, 90% accurate? Is it, you know, what sort of the feedback that it gives you, you're pretty confident in that this is really what's going on inside the body.
Right. I am, I guess, because of the number of years that I've seen it prove itself. When I first started with it, I was a skeptic as well, because I'm a Western-trained veterinarian, practiced conventional medicine for several years before starting to explore other options. And I would do side-by-side blood tests, x-rays, ultrasounds, fecal tests, urinalyses, you know, the whole gamut, to see if this was true, to see if it was being supported by the conventional diagnostics. And I would say in over 90% of the cases, it was supported by changes in the conventional tests. And in the ones that it wasn't, we found that maybe it was an even more sensitive and early indicator, such that if we went ahead with the nutritional protocol that was determined by the kinesiology or the contact reflex analysis findings, that the patients got better. Even if the blood work or the, you know, x-ray or whatever didn't support. So, for example, if a patient tested that the kidneys weren't healthy and we went ahead with blood tests and urinalysis and everything was fine, and yet there was something not right about that patient. That's why it was presented in the first place. Something wasn't, you know, they weren't feeling good and the owner detected that. If we went ahead and we followed the nutritional protocol or the herbal protocol or the acupuncture protocol, that was most strongly indicated by the muscle testing, the animal got better. So I started to quit arguing with it.
And that's my message for anybody listening to this call, either online, live now, but as a recording, is to just be open to the possibility.
Right.
You know, Yeah, suspend disbelief. There's some amazing things out there in the universe that we just don't understand. And so, you know, when somebody comes in and wants to do something like muscle testing, give it a try and then decide afterwards, you know, when you see it work, whether you think it works or not.
Right. So, and all of these things can be used adjunctively, too. It doesn't have to be an either-or choice. Chemotherapy definitely has its place in some cases of cancer. It's actually the first choice. Lymphoma. It has a very good success record with lymphoma. However, chemotherapy can be devastating to the body in other ways, and we can use the complementary therapies as determined by muscle testing or bioresonance testing to support the overall system so it doesn't become so weakened by the conventional therapies.
And so you'll work with dogs that are even in the middle of traditional chemotherapy protocols and basically boost their, you know, keep them strong through these other things that you're doing based on the testing that you do.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about the other one. And okay, so now you told me about the muscle testing, but what was the second? It was like a Biocom machine or something like that?
Right. It's called Biocom 2000, and it's a machine out of Germany that works on electromagnetic biofeedback principles. And so it can be used for testing and for therapy purposes. As I mentioned before, all of the processes, all of the cells, all of the nerve connections in the body are dictated on the first level by electromagnetic and photonic impulses. And photons are little packets of light, and they may even be superior to the electromagnetic impulses. The BICOM 2000 works with the electromagnetic frequency spectrum in which cells communicate with each other. Secondary to that cellular communication are the hormones and neurohormones and peptides and chemicals and everything in the body that we can measure a lot of. But where we have our time actually measuring.
Wait, Dr. Alba, I'm sorry. Hold the thought for a second. I'm going to unmute us just so I'm going to mute us. I'm going to mute us, and then I'm going to have you come right back on the line. So you're going to have to hit star 6 again, Dr. Alt, but give me a second to mute us first. I'm sorry about that. Dr. Alt, if you could press star 6 and come on back into the call.
Okay, I did.
Good, thank you. Sorry about that. I just wanted to get that the barking out in the background.
Barking dogs, yes. They're happy too.
Exactly.
So how the bioresonance therapy works for the BICOM 2000 is there are vials that are imprinted with certain magnetic frequencies, electromagnetic frequencies, that correspond with different types of cancers, with different organ systems, with different parasite or bacteria or heavy metal or toxin frequencies, foods, allergens, things like that. And you can present that frequency to the body through the BICOM machine. If it's a toxin, you would present the inverse of that frequency so as not to stress the body. And then you mm-hmm. are looking for a resonance pattern within the body, which can either be determined by the muscle testing. Again, strong muscle test indicates that something strengthening or good for the body. A weak muscle test indicates that something, you know, weakening or not so good for the body. There's also a little device called a biotensor that can be used in place of muscle testing if you don't have a good surrogate. And so that can be used for diagnosing what these different stresses on the body are. And it can uncover if there are cancer cells in the body that aren't immediately obvious by a visible or imageable tumor. So
it can actually discover. What I started thinking as you were saying that was that this is almost like a biopsy in a way, you know, without being invasive.
A little bit of an early detection system.
An early detection version.
Yeah. So we like to run our older patients through testing periodically just to, you know, make sure that we're getting a jump on any cells that might be going awry and do something about it before it gets too far ahead of us.
Great. And when you use that machine, are you using blood? What are you using to run through the machine?
If we have the patient right there, the patient's attached with an electrode, and they're in a biofeedback loop with the machine. So it's basically, you know, projecting the frequency of what we're testing to the patient, and then we're testing the patient's response to that frequency. If we don't have the patient in front of us, a blood sample will do, and we can do the same thing, project that frequency onto the blood, which acts like a, it's like the holographic universe where you've got the whole is contained within the part. So everything that is in that animal's body is energetically contained in that blood sample. So we can do
do you find that it's equally accurate whether you've got the patient there or whether the patient's, you know, 1,000 miles away but you've got a blood sample?
Right, yes. There's no boundaries to these types of frequencies.
The reason why I raise that is because you're located just outside of Boise in a town called Nampa. And so it's wonderful if anybody on the call or anybody listening to this recording is in the Boise area. Let me just put in a plug right here. I cannot recommend more highly any vet, especially if you're local, than Dr. Ault, and you should definitely seek her out. But even if you're at a distance and you're struggling to figure out what's going on with your dog and you want her to help you, you can call her office, and conceivably we could set up something, or you could set up something where you could still use the machine to help figure out what's going on
for them.
And we'll give you Dr. Ault's contact information later on in the call, just in case you do want to get in touch with her. But again, like I said, if you are in the Boise area, then you're very lucky because you have a wonderful vet there who can help you with your dog. And if not, then hopefully we can still get her to give you help as goes on. And again, so like the muscle testing, your experience with this Bicon 2000 machine is that it's also very accurate in terms of giving you a sense of exactly what's going on in the body. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's another level of testing, just like, you know, way back when we used to have only x-rays to look at, and then came the development of ultrasound, and then came the development of MRI and CAT scan. This is an evolution of early detection, and it's working on a different level. It's kind of like an MRI without the visual, where it's more of an energetic testing method, and yet it is picking up these abnormal frequencies from cancer cells and from other stresses in the body that could lead to the development of cancer cells. And that's the best place to intervene, is before we have cancer cells to have to deal with. We'd rather intervene and get those stresses out of the body so the immune system does its job and works the way it's supposed to.
So interestingly, I mean, I hadn't even really thought of it exactly like that, but you're looking for basically early detection in a lot of cases in order to, because obviously the cancer is much, much, much easier to fight if it's, you know, not there or just starting to be there.
Exactly.
And so by turning around the stresses that are in the body that are compromising the immune system, you can literally let the dog, you know, sort of, you know, regather its strength and go back and fight off the cancer on its own. Is that essentially what's happening?
Right. We're all self-healing organisms. There's none of us that aren't a self-healing organism. And there's no reason that we shouldn't have a fully functioning immune system. Except in this day and age, we have a lot of things that are not in our favor and working against us. It's become more and more exposed to environmental toxins and electromagnetic frequency stress and poor foods. And there's a lot working against us.
In many ways, our dogs are even worse off than we are with some of those stresses.
Right, because they can't choose. You know, they basically are fed what they are given. They are in the environment that we put them in, and we live in a much more stressful world than we used to. So the incidence of cancer is so much more than it used to be, and part of that is environment and diet and lifestyle. It's hard for us to think that we could go back to a time when we didn't live this way, but I think we have to find some ways of, you know, at least partially returning to simpler times.
One of
Happy Mac's biggest treatments was his diet. He was changed over to a home-prepared and, I believe, predominantly raw diet. And that made such a huge difference for him that I think that was a big factor in the extension of his life.
Another thing that I tell my clients, just based on talking with you and talking with other vets and experts, is that in my mind as well, if you could only do one thing for your dog and you for some reason couldn't do anything else, I think that might be the most important. Getting him onto a proper nutrition diet. So, you know, obviously you want to do all the other things that you do as well, but I definitely agree that that's the first and primary thing that you should be doing, mm-hmm. is focusing on that.
Yeah, it's critical. It's the building blocks, and if we have poor building blocks, then, you know, the structure is going to fall. Similarly to the body, you have to have the right nutritional input for the cells to function properly and communicate properly and be able to, for the excretion processes to work. In Scottish Terriers, which is what Mac was, it's been found and repeatedly that chemical stress is a huge factor in the development of bladder cancers. And we know
chemicals, like what sort of?
Especially pesticides and herbicides.
Okay.
And we know that those have remarkably increased in our environment. So there's a very large correlation between bladder cancers and pesticides and herbicides, especially in that particular breed. So we know that there are certain breeds of dogs that are more prone to developing cancers, Boxers, Golden Retrievers, Scotties with their bladder cancer, Bernese Mountain Dogs with hemangiomas, malignant histiocytomas. There are certain breeds that are more predisposed. So we know that there are genetic factors in there, but it doesn't mean that every Scottish Terrier is going to develop bladder cancer just because they're a Scottie. It means that we have to be especially careful about exposure to the triggers, the factors that are going to set off development of cancer cells or failure of the immune system that leads to development of cancer in those breeds.
Right.
So the more we know about genetics, that helps us with knowing what their risk factors are. At least do something about that in diet and environment. So that would mean a more organic, raw or home-cooked diet for a breed that is predisposed to cancer caused by environmental chemicals. Just minimizing or eliminating the exposure to those is going to be critical.
Now, of course, and I agree with you. One of the things that I started to realize as I was going cross country was that obviously the only way that you win this cancer battle is really by preventing it in the first place. But obviously the people who are on the call and who are going to be listening to this, unfortunately, we've already crossed that line. And so when a Tigger Be Happy Mac or somebody comes in, unfortunately it's too late for preventative. And now we dive into, what we can do now.
Right. It is to a point. Those changes still need to be made because if we don't remove that inciting stress, if we don't, even if it's already developed, if we don't remove it, then no matter what therapy we try, we're going to be unsuccessful.
Right.
So we still have to.
Because you're going to be fighting it. Absolutely. And so basically the first thing that you're going to do, even with a dog that's already got cancer, is figure out what the environmental stresses are and get rid of them. Because now you've got to at least get the dog back to square one or as close as possible to it so he can start fighting back himself.
Exactly. The people that develop cancers that take responsibility for their own diet and cleansing regimen have much better success than those that just continue on with their poor eating habits and poor lifestyle habits and just take the drug, take the chemotherapy drug or the radiation. Those are not going to have near the success as the ones who go into some intensive cleansing, who become vegetarian, who stop their stressful job and stressful lifestyle and get happy, laugh, play. So I think the same things are really important for our dogs.
Right, and as you said, and as you said, they don't have a choice. So really, it becomes up. We as the caretakers, it's up to us to make the change for them.
Right. Even the dogs with advanced cancer need to get out and play and find a reason to be happy and to keep fighting and keep going. They need to have a better diet and more sunshine and vitamin D is critical, which is why we give vitamin A and D injections, because a lot of our pets are inside animals. They're inside too much and don't live outside anymore. So, so we supplement that, and it's important for the pet owner to do their part, to do all they can to make some changes to the diet, environment, and lifestyle.
Okay, so tell me a little bit, because actually we're getting towards, the call has gone very quickly, and we're getting to the point where I'm going to want to start opening it up for questions, but let's talk for just a few minutes more about some of the treatments that you do. We've talked a lot about diagnosis, and really the diagnosing part is the first part of the treatment, because you're figuring out what in the environment needs to be changed in order to remove the stresses. So share with me a little bit, maybe we should use Mac as a starting point again for that, sort of the types of treatments that you do with him, and maybe some of the things that you do that might not be, you know, familiar to some of the people on the call.
Okay. Mac received regular BICOM treatment. So we used it for, you know, helping to diagnose the stresses, but then also for treating him and helping to remove the stresses, the blocks to his normal cellular communication. And so
the BICOM 2000 can actually work both as not only for diagnosing, but also it can actually have a healing effect.
Exactly. And that's one reason why it's not approved for FDA or FDA approved for use in humans in the United States, is because it gets people off of conventional pharmaceuticals. So there's a little fight against that.
Sure.
But it's not regulated for animal use, so fortunately we can use it for the animals without any problems in the U.S. There's not very many of these machines around, though, because they come from Europe, from Germany, and they're quite expensive. So
that's what I was going to ask. Is there a list of people who have these machines, or is there some way that somebody on the call who was interested could sort of learn about where there might be a machine that they could use for their dog other than just yours in Nampa, or Idaho?
There's a website, and I think it's called BICOMResonance.com, and the U.S. distributor is in transition, so I don't know how active that site is right now, but hopefully it will be kept updated. And
the name of the machine is the BICOM, BICOM 2000,
right.
BioResonance, R-E-S-O-N-A-N-C-E therapy.
Yes. And so that would be one resource. I know there's not that many in the U.S., but they are around. And so he has that for treatments pretty regularly. And it seemed like every time he had a treatment, he would feel better afterwards for, you know, quite a good period of time and then start to slip again. And it was an indication that he could benefit from another treatment. We also used a lot of Chinese herbs with Mac. We used different products for boosting the immune system predominantly and boosting his energy. We use some nutritional supplements for also, again, strengthening the immune system. And we started into a little bit of detoxification for heavy metals. That was hard. That was hard on him. He didn't feel good going through that, so we couldn't do that for very long.
And so obviously you make adjustments based on what's happening in his individual case, which is another reason why we always say that you need to be working with somebody who's an expert, a licensed veterinarian, hopefully a holistic veterinarian who's familiar with these things, because if you're doing it on your own at home or something like that, you need somebody who can keep an eye and see exactly what's happening for your dog to make sure that you can make adjustments if need be.
And, you know, what was pretty encouraging about all of this was that he didn't have to take any pain medications until the very, very end, when it became obvious that he was getting uncomfortable. And so he spent that whole year playing, eating, happy, comfortable, and living with cancer. We didn't cure it, but we kept him comfortable and happy. And but that was our expectation from the beginning.
I was actually talking to Ken today about Tigger Be Happy Mac, and we were talking about the difference between, you know, how he would have felt if he had learned about Mac's cancer and then Mac had died 30 days later, which was exactly what was supposed to happen according to his original vet, versus having, you know, a year and a quarter or so, you know, 14 and a half months to enjoy Mac, to be with him, to play with him, and to, you know, but by the time Mac left, it sounded, you know, from my discussions with Ken, it felt like, you know, everybody was ready. Mac was ready. Ken was ready. The whole family had had their time to basically be with him and enjoy. And, you know, so, yeah, even if you can't get rid of the cancer, you know, and sort of turn it around completely, having that extra year, I mean, I know because I had it with Marty, it makes all the difference. Because now when they go, they're going on our terms.
Right.
Yeah.
It's quality time, you know. We don't want them to just linger and not be comfortable and happy and feeling good. We want them to be here while they feel good. And then when they don't feel good anymore, it's okay to go. But we've had others that we didn't expect to have a good outcome, and we've had a complete cure. So, you know, they can be all over that spectrum. And then there's others that present that are so far advanced that we all have
sure.
to agree that there's nothing more that can be done. You know, it is their time. But
sure.
if there's, you know, if there's a way to keep them comfortable and happy for a while longer until everybody is in acceptance that it's their time, then that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Let me take you, because I do want to start opening the floor for questions, but there's one more thing that I wanted to ask you about, Dr. Ault. You were sharing with me, and I'm going to forget the name of it, so you're going to have to remind me, it's a new technique that that you use, or it's not new, but it's becoming more and more popular.
Yes, it's actually fairly new. I mean, in the scope of, you know, if you consider acupuncture's been around for several thousand years, it is pretty new. It's only been around for about 20 years, maybe just within the last 5 years, becoming more well-known. It's called reconnective healing. And this is as we were talking about frequency medicine with the BICOM, this is frequency medicine also, but it's in a whole different spectrum. It's in a spectrum more of light and information, not necessarily electromagnetic frequency, but more along the spectrum of light. And again, that is a spectrum of energy or frequency that the body responds extremely well to and the cells communicate within. This type of healing is not with a machine. It is actually through the hands or through the person that's acting almost like a transducer for this or a transmitter for it. It's amazing. If you go to thereconnection.com, you will see a lot of information.
It's one word, the reconnection.
Exactly, thereconnection.com. You will see a practitioner listing there, and it'll tell you the number of practitioners all over the world, actually, if you scroll over the map of the world. And that's increasing exponentially as more and more people and animals are experiencing healings from this. So it's quite new to me. I've only been practicing it for a few months. But we've seen some pretty remarkable improvements and healings with this type of therapy. And it can also be done long distance.
Oh, it can be done long distance.
Yes, their distance is not a hindrance. In fact, it may even be stronger over distances. It's the only healing modality that has actually been able to demonstrably increase in strength with distance.
And do you actually do the reconnections work yourself, or do you work
yes.
with somebody who does?
Actually, I've been through the complete training for that, so I do perform that type of work too. Therapy sessions are about 30 minutes and can be done, you know, just with a sample from the animal as well, just like we do with the testing. So a blood sample would be great, and it's typically 1 to 3 sessions. Is all that's needed.
So just
one, see how they do. Maybe do a second one. Maybe do a third, but no more than 3.
Wow. So just to go back into my lawyer mode from way back when, you know, I just want to again remind everybody on the call. One of the things that I love about dogs is that they can never fake their healing. And so if you're wondering, you know, well, I wonder if this thing might work, or even if you think that it, you know, couldn't in a million years work, my recommendation is to give something like this a try and see what happens. Because if Dr. Ault does a session for your dog, or if, you know, you find another reconnective healer in your area who does, just see what happens. If it does nothing and your dog, you know, walks out exactly the way as he came in, then, you know, you don't have to do it again. But what you may find is that, you know, what Dr. Ault is saying, that there are some amazing results and responses from it. So I encourage people to be open to at least giving it a try and seeing what happens. And again, you said that the thereconnection.com is the main website for that?
Yes.
And people can find...
Yeah, and there are practitioners listed there for it. Not everybody is on their practitioner list because it is a pay-to-be-on site. And so I know several reconnection practitioners in this area that are not on that list. However, there's always ways to find them through different holistic organizations or even in the phone book.
Even if they wanted to, they could actually even get in touch with you, and you could do some of it long distance to help their dog, and just see how it does. Like I say, I tell everybody, keep an open mind when you're doing this dog cancer stuff, because there's some amazing healing practices out there that, you know, like I always say, the best part about dogs, they can't fake it. You know, either it happens and it helps, or it doesn't, but they're never going to pretend for you that it helps. And so it's a really great way to test these things and see whether it actually works or not.
Right.
And like you said,
it's something that you have to have a belief in order for it to work. In fact, many practitioners have stated that their best healings have come from people that were dragged in by a spouse or that came to them because somebody suggested they give it a try and they didn't believe it worked. And yet they had the most remarkable healings from those people. So it doesn't require a faith or a belief in it in order for it to work, which is encouraging because you don't have to try to convince your dog that it's going to work.
Right.
Although it's always helpful for people to, to have some hope and enthusiasm
about
what's being done.
I think that's actually critical in the cancer care process is to have that hope.
Right.
You know, when you walk around expecting everything to fail, you know, things tend to fail. When you walk around expecting them to succeed, you know, they're not always going to succeed, but your odds, I find, are always better at least.
Right.
You know, not to mention you feel a lot better throughout the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
So. I feel a little bit bad that I brought that up so late because I wish we could actually spend more time on it. Is there anything, you know, that you really want to share about that, or should we jump on over and let some people ask some questions?
Well, I think that people can certainly find information, through further research on their own, as far as web searches about reconnective healing, and it's basically find a practitioner or have somebody do it remotely. And I think it can only help. It can only augment whatever else you may be doing. It gives the pet more to work with. And if they're already rather depleted, fighting a serious illness, it's certainly beneficial to give them more energy to work with.
Right. Marty got weekly Reiki sessions, which I never would have believed would have worked for a dog, except every time he came out of the Reiki session, he came running out. And every time when we went in, he was, you know, tired and exhausted. And so I said, you know, I'm just going to trust him. He likes this. It works. And so, you know, with reconnective therapy, you know, I encourage you to do the same with that. Let me do this, Dr. Ault. First, if Ken McDevitt's on the line, could you hit *6, please? Because I do want to give you 2 minutes just to say hello and share your thoughts about Dr. Ault and all the, and since we've been talking about your dog the whole time. Is this Ken?
Yeah, it is. Hi, Dr. Ault.
Hi, Ken.
How you doing?
I'm good.
We're a little bit behind in time, Ken, but I did want to give you 2 minutes just to share about your experience through the process. We're going to open the floor for about 10 minutes worth of questions from people so they can get some more answers from Dr. Ault.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is that when I took Mac out to Dr. Ault, he was pretty sick. And I was real skeptical about what was going on at first because I didn't know what she did or how she practiced. But I would recommend this to anybody, and because it's a good experience for you and your dog. And Mac was comfortable and happy through the whole process. And the thing that I found, Mac would feel how I felt. just keep positive with it, because he feels your positive most. Because if you're happy and you're playing with him, he's happy and he remains stronger. And the thing is, now we have Buffy, his daughter, and Dr. Alt treats her, and she's on the same diet and almost everything that he's been on. And she's doing well, and her coat's even getting a little better than what it used to be. Mac had a beautiful coat, and I think it had to do a lot of with what the vitamins and stuff that Dr. Alt gave him. But she's a great vet, and if you can't find somebody in your neighborhood, do give her a call, because she's got a lot of good information. And I think the last time that I did a research, and that was over a year ago on this MyCom 2000, I think there was only 4 in existence in the United States. And then I called about what the cost of them were, and they are expensive. And I believe at the time they said that they didn't have a salesman in the United States, but that was a year ago. But just do a lot of research, a lot of questions. And the main thing is keeping your dog happy and healthy and enjoy them. Take it a day at a time, because there's going to be a time when they're gone. That's all I got to say. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. And before we get into questions, for anybody who does want to get in touch with Dr. Alt, Dr. Alt, what is your website and contact information? Whatever you want to share, it's going to be
The website is Alternatives, and it's spelled AulterNatives at MSN.com.
So Alternatives, AulterNatives at MSN.com, and that's because Dr. Alt's name is spelled A-U-L-T.
Right.
And then your website is
it's
Alternatives.
Alternatives.com.
Great. And so you can find her contact information on there. And why don't we, if you don't mind, Dr. Alt, why don't we open it up to about 10 minutes worth of questions and see if anybody had anything further they wanted to ask.
Sure, that's fine.
Dr. Alt?
Hey, so,
hello?
Yes.
Hi, it's
Hi.
Glenn. I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, we have a golden retriever, almost 7 years old, that was had a angiosarcoma found in his jaw muscle. It was removed, and there supposedly with biopsy, there was no spread outside the biopsy. Now, we've gone conventionally. We've had chemo. We did our six sessions of chemo. Now we are done that, and he is on cyclophosphamide 3 times a week now. This is since August, so it's 8 months ago. Basically, we're very confused because we are dealing with probably one of the top oncologists in Canada, and he's at the stage right now where we're going to see him in another 2 months, and he does not know if we should continue cyclophosphamide. Now, I've changed his diet. He's on the closest thing to a raw diet. We've changed over to Wellness Core. He's on sardine oil. I'm giving him mushrooms. I'm seeing a Chinese conventional vet that does Chinese medicine. I've done as much as I can. Raw food is very difficult for us, but we've really changed everything around the house in regards to chemicals. Can I just have a little information on what you think? I'm open to everything, because I just, once I found Ted's site, I just delve into it all. And this was quite an overwhelming experience for my wife and I. I just would like to know what you have to say, because in Canada, I don't think we have anybody like yourself. So, and we do live in a big city. But as I said, I'm just starting to see a conventional vet that does Chinese medicine. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. It sounds like you've made really good progress. It sounds like the oncologist feels that the cancer is essentially taken care of, is that correct?
Well, he doesn't know because intramuscular, they call it subcutaneous, but he doesn't know if the cyclophosphamide is doing any good for where it was found, because it wasn't found in the spleen. There was no spread. So we had the whole jaw muscle removed on one side, and that's basic, and he hasn't shown a day of sickness. He's been happy ever since this whole thing was found. So, I mean, that's why we're so confused, because we don't know what to do. We've changed a lot in his whole lifestyle, but we just don't know what to do. And now we're pressed with the fact that he doesn't know if we should continue with the, because he's doing so well. But I don't want to take a chance and stop the conventional method along with the natural stuff that I'm giving him and find out it's going to creep back. Because, I mean, hemangiosarcoma doesn't have a good success rate, but we're trying our best.
And because he's so young.
Considering that you have a golden retriever, and hemangiosarcomas are probably the biggest cancer that we see in golden retrievers, we know that there's a genetic component there. So so your concerns about it coming back are certainly valid. They're well-founded, unfortunately. What we have to look at is what other stresses might be going on with this dog. And with where you're at, we could either, you know, do some of that BICOM testing remotely, or you might consider trying to find a practitioner of homeopathy in your area, and somebody that hopefully is open to working alongside with the Chinese herbs. Some homeopathic veterinarians are very classically trained, and they are. It's an either-or situation with them. You know, they'll either do homeopathy or want you to just follow up with other methods. But if you can find one that can comfortably implement some homeopathic therapies in with his conventional and Chinese herbal treatments, I think that might be a good way to go as well.
Okay.
The reason for that is homeopathy is very good at dealing with some of the underlying predispositions, and they're termed miasms in homeopathy. And it sounds like your particular dog may have a miasm that needs to be dealt with, and or this is like a genetic tendency. And homeopathy can be very supportive in that way. The other thing that you can incorporate, and I'll bet you a lot of money probably, that you will be able to find a reconnective healing practitioner in Ontario that is able to work with your dog.
Okay.
Because I know that they're actually doing a lot of trainings in that area for reconective healing practitioners.
Okay, now
I'm so sorry. I am going to have to, because there's a lot of people waiting to ask questions.
I will contact you.
Right. Okay. You can contact Dr. Alt at alternatives.com.
Yep.
You can find her contact information. And if you need any help finding a homeopathic vet, if you could send me an email just through the curing-canine-cancer.com website, I can help you with that as well.
Thank you very much.
And I am sorry. I'm very sorry to cut you off, but I do want to make sure other people can ask questions as well.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is...
Was there somebody...
Yes, hello?
Yes. I'm sorry, there was a woman who jumped in first. I'm sorry, there was a woman who jumped in first, and then we'll go to you next.
My name is Pauline, and my dog Fiona is 10 and just had a tumor removed. The vet thought that it wasn't malignant, and then when it was biopsied, they said it was fibrosarcoma. She said she thinks she got it all, but that if we want, we can go to an oncologist and have chemo or have part of her jaw removed or very invasive treatment. And what I want to know is, what would you recommend as the next step? Do we go to an oncologist? Do we wait and see if it comes back and if she had gotten it all? Or do we go to a holistic vet or all of the above?
Did they give you were they able to give you a staging on that biopsy?
She said that they found the fibrosarcoma malignancy throughout the whole piece that they removed.
Okay,
but she didn't say what stage it was at or whether it had spread or not.
Okay. Oftentimes a pathology lab will stage or grade the tumor based on the cell behavior that they are seeing, and that can help us determine whether or not we need to delve deeper. If they found it throughout the whole sample, it suggests to me that there may be cells still remaining at the margins. So my preference would be yes, oncologist, and see if they have a way of imaging or further testing to see if there is some still at the margin. Fibrosarcomas tend to be localized. They tend to be more locally invasive, and they can return where they were removed from, but they tend to not spread throughout the whole body or to the lungs. So it's possible with that type of tumor that a thorough enough surgery may remove it and be all that's needed. But again, you know, think about going back to the causative factors and seeing if we can eliminate as many of those causative factors as possible, and all the stresses on the body that led to the development of cancer cells in the first place.
What about freezing? Where they freeze the area of the tumor?
Mm-hmm. Not so good.
Okay.
It just causes more tissue destruction, and the cells that grow back, I think, have a higher tendency toward abnormalities.
And radiation or chemotherapy?
Localized on the jaw, radiation may be an option. The fibrosarcomas are pretty poorly responsive to chemotherapy, though.
Okay.
There are certain tumors that are very responsive to chemotherapy and others that are not, and fibrosarcomas are not. They're ones that tend to be treated locally with a more radical surgery and sometimes radiation therapy.
And as you were saying, now, is that something that, like, the BICOM 2000 type, you know, testing could help, or, you know, sort of figuring out what's going on in the environment?
Right, as far as those other types of stresses that may have led to the development of the cancer, and to determine if there are still cancer cells present.
Right. So you might want to look into something like that for interpreting it, as well as, you know, some other more, you know, holistic options just to take care of it, to make sure that it never comes back again as well.
And that can be done long distance if we can't find anybody here to do it. We're on the
East
Coast.
Right. I prefer a blood sample for testing. That seems to be the best sample to test off of. And it doesn't have to be a large blood sample, just a small amount of blood.
So I could call your office and they would tell me what to do?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Okay, and then there was somebody who I cut off, so I wanted to make sure that he gets back in.
Yeah, that was me, Steve. I'm from South Florida. I have a – do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have a 5-year-old boxer. She was just diagnosed. We had a tumor removed, which was the third tumor. The first two were supposedly non-malignant.
And this was, a boxer?
Yeah, 5-year-old boxer.
Yeah.
The third tumor that was removed was diagnosed as a mast cell breast cancer, grade 3. Mm-hmm. And it was out to the margin of what was removed, so it's probably still in her body. So, well, with that, you know, we're totally new to this. This is just thrown at us, you know, without any, you know, real knowledge of this, of how to handle this as best as possible. Other than, you know, using research, what we've come up with is a couple of medications. We found one was a canine immunity and transfactor.
Transfactor.
By a company called
right.
Transport Factor, right? By Aloha something or other.
Yeah.
Omega-3s, multivitamins. Is there anything else that we could, you know, help to provide? Basically, from what I understand, is we need to try to keep her immune system as powerful as possible, or as you know, healthy as possible.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, this is all new to us. Is there anything that you could, you know, suggest that we're, you know, leaving out? We did change her diet. She's on a grain-free diet.
Good.
We're about to incorporate raw meat. I was just a little speculative of that, but it seems to be the right thing to do. Pretty much my whole scenario.
Okay. It's a difficult one. You're starting off with a breed that has the highest incidence of cancer of any breed out there. I'm sure you've been told that. So, you know, that's a hard place to start from. And so we know that there's some genetic tendencies there. I would say that the energetic modalities are something that you can incorporate in with her immune support, and probably some Chinese herbal support. Doctor, are you close to University of Florida?
University of Florida, yes, we are.
Okay. Dr. Shea is a Chinese medicine specialist there, and he has Jingtang Herbal. And he's using herbal, and he makes and prescribes them. He would certainly be the best expert in your area, and maybe the best expert in the country, to go see about cancer therapy for your dog.
And his name again was Dr. Shea. How do you spell that? S-H?
No, it's X-I-E.
Ah. X-I-E, okay.
X-I-E. Yeah.
And I'm glad I asked.
He is a veterinarian from China. He runs the Qi Institute there in Florida. Very, very knowledgeable about how to manage cancer with Chinese herbs and Chinese medicine. Very good success rate.
I see. So Chinese medicine seems to be what, you know, based on the last three calls you asked, seems to be going down that same path.
It's an important component to incorporate along with immune support. You do want to direct the body properly. Tumors can form where qi has stagnated in Chinese medicine terms, and there also tends to be a toxic heat component to it. And so when you look at it in those dimensions, there are Chinese herbal preparations and acupuncture protocols that very effectively address that. So, you know, approaching the body from that standpoint, you're going to support the immune system, support the healing processes in general, and also address why the body is developing this problem. And fortunately, you are close to probably the best expert in the country in that regard.
And holistic medicine is all about sort of painting, you know, sort of working in the whole, painting the whole picture and taking care of the whole patient. And so Chinese medicine is one element of that, but a very important element. So, you know, in addition to the changes in the environment and these other changes that Dr. Alt was talking about, that's an important aspect that you can be using. Some people use that. Some people use other elements. That the whole purpose is just to get the whole package as part of the holistic care. So that's great if you can do that. And I think I'm going to jump and just say one last question, if there's one question out there, and then we're going to let Dr. Alt go for the evening.
Dr. Alt? Hi, I have a 10-year-old Boston Terrier with insulinoma,
yes.
Stage 3, and she had surgery, and they excised it from the pancreas, and they saw spots on the liver. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do chemo, and they said it would make her diabetic, sick for 2 days every treatment. We decided against that, and we're controlling her sugar with meals every 4 hours. What do you think about the raw diet for that? And is there anything I need to change because
of
having...
It can be very good because it's carbohydrate restricted, basically. If you're doing a raw diet, it's hard to do raw grain. So the raw diets tend to be very low carb and grain free. And in cancer diets for dogs, it's been found that high protein and good fats is the best way to go. So I would consider raw or home cooked. Again, if she has lost part of her pancreas and has disease in her pancreas, the pancreas is a very important digestive organ, and so she's lost part of her digestive ability. So she may not be able to digest raw very well. You may have to do home cooked, but still keep it very high protein and low carbohydrate.
Okay.
You can incorporate some beneficial fruits as long as they are the more low sugar fruits like blueberry, you know, in small quantities. And sweet potato, a little bit, you know, limited amount, but try to go mostly with the low starch vegetables and good quality meat. Incorporate some flaxseed oil into there.
Okay.
And maybe some cottage cheese.
What's your opinion on Laetrile?
I have no experience with it. I've heard mixed reviews.
Okay,
I have no personal experience with it.
Thinking about trying it with her. Mm-hmm. And from everything that I've read, the FDA did testing to see how much it took to kill people, but not how much was needed to help them.
I think it is one of those that's considered to have a narrow margin of safety, meaning it takes a lot to work, and only a little bit more of that to be damaging. So it's not one that you can just, you know, play with the dose however you want.
Okay.
Find some information on the last call about neoplasm. Mm-hmm. All these callers, go look into neoplasm.
Sure, that's actually a very good suggestion. And
And
actually,
thank you, Dr.
Right, and actually, I just completed a call about 2 weeks ago with the creator of Neoplasine, so that could be another alternative that people might want to look into as well.
Right.
And
it's
with
also
that,
one that has a very narrow safety margin. It can be very
right
expensive,
again,
but it can also be very difficult to take for the pet. So
yes.
Keep that in mind.
Dr. Ault?
Yes.
Is there any way, there's several of us on the call tonight that are, we have pets with lymphoma, and we were talking before you came online, and I'm wondering if, since there's several of us, if you would mind addressing that particular type of cancer for a moment?
Yeah.
If there's any specific things that would be helpful?
You know, actually, lymphoma is one of the types of cancers that tends to be very well responsive to chemotherapy. So I might consider actually incorporating that into it along with some of the more natural medicines or methods. I think that that it's really important with some of these fast-moving cancers to get it, to stop it in its tracks.
In my particular situation, my dog had one treatment, and his kidney values went so high that we had to discontinue all medications and chemo. He has since, over the last couple of weeks, improved remarkably. His cancer appears to be, we think, in a remission, but we are giving him subcutaneous fluids every day to try to compensate for these high kidney values.
Yeah, that can be the potential problem with some of these drugs, is that they can be hard on the elimination organs. So, you know, continue doing what you can to support his kidney function, and hopefully he'll regain some of that. But, yeah, if you've managed to stop the cancer from growing and spreading with just one chemo treatment, that's what you needed to do at that time. And now it's bought you some time to be able to start working on some of the potentially the underlying causes of why it came on in the first place, try to get the immune system working properly again. So, and that can be through any of these methods that we've talked about tonight.
We found artemisinicin helpful with lymphoma with a dog that had it.
What was that?
Okay, and
the artemisinicin?
Oh, yes, artemisinin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a dog with lymphoma, and she lived for a year and a half, and we incorporated that. And with the chemo, and that we think helped a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful.
And guys, and I hate to do this, but I'm gonna have to close out the call for this evening. I really appreciate everybody who's been on the call asking questions, and most of all, I appreciate Dr. Ault for you taking the time to help us. Really, thank you very much for a wonderful call this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity in the forum.
That's great. And if anybody wants to get in touch with Dr. Ault, you can find her website at alternatives.com. That's AULTERNATIVES.com. You'll find her contact information there as well. She's in Nampa, which is just outside of Boise, Idaho. So if you're anywhere near there with your dog, I highly recommend that you visit her. And I always like to give my guests the people seem to be leaving, but I always like to give my guests the final word. And let me just ask you, you know, when a patient comes in, or for people who are listening on the call, is there anything in particular that you would want to share with them? Any advice, any recommendations, any sort of final thoughts before we close it out for the night?
Oh, that's a big one.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot for it, but,
yeah.
You know, just in general when you're talking with. You don't have to. I'll edit it out.
It can be overwhelming when faced with this. People oftentimes are in a state of shock and disbelief that this is even happening. And when you start heading down the treatment path, there seems to be so many different ways you can go. And I guess what I'd like people to know is that you don't have to pick one way or the other. You can incorporate whatever seems to make most sense for your dog. If you have great faith in your conventional doctor and their successes and their skills, then, you know, by all means incorporate that. But if you feel like there can be more and maybe should be more incorporated in, then do consider trying to incorporate some of these other factors, because we're not just treating cancer, we're treating the whole animal. We want to support the whole animal and keep them as happy and healthy as possible, even if their cancer isn't completely curable. Try to stay open to the possibility that there is more. There is more out there.
And that is an absolutely wonderful close, Dr. Alk. I really appreciate it. And again, thank you so much for sharing with us and helping everybody take care of their dogs. Thank you, everybody. And this is the end of the live X-ray interview number 8. And thank you again, everybody, for being on the call with us. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Ted.
Good night.